Let's begin another week of our 4.5 year journey, verse by verse, through God's Word. Today we are in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 10, verse 18 is where we're going to start in a moment. Remember that the Proverbs are the collected work of King Solomon from his good years when he was trying to instruct his eldest son, Rehoboam, but also all of his sons, perhaps all of his children, on how they needed to use God's wisdom in order to live their lives and discharge their responsibilities as members of the royal family. These are intended for young people, specifically, to help them learn how to live appropriately, but they are also good resources for those that have just recently started caring about God's morality, God's wisdom, to help them get this foundation, this grounding in the way that God wants them to live. So I see these Proverbs as good resources, good tools for people of all ages if they just want to know how to live a righteous, wise life by God's standards. I highly recommend that you keep a little notepad or a piece of paper somewhere close by as we do these Proverbs, so that if you hear one that you think will be particularly useful for yourself or someone you know, you can jot down the reference and get that taken care of. I think the more Proverbs you go through, the more likely you're going to live a righteous life. Because as David, King Solomon's dad, said, your word, God, I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. So the memorization of Scripture has a long-term benefit for those that want to live righteous lives. Proverbs chapter number 10, verse 18. The one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool. So this makes good sense. People that hate other people will very often lie about them. They will very often slander them. But in reality, they're just demonstrating the core of their moral being. They are a fool in the biblical sense. David had said, a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now what that means is, there is no absolute authority. I can do whatever I want to. I get to set my own standards, my own rules. And that is not wise thinking. And when we say nasty things about other people, we're just showing that we have no moral grounding. Verse number 19. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. A very simple understanding. The more you go on verbally, the more you talk and just let things go, the more chance there is you're going to cross a line. And so it's much better to take control of what you do say to make sure that it is the right thing to be said before it comes out of your mouth. Verse number 20. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little worth. So the tongue is what we speak with, and if righteous person, you know, controls what they say, that's worth an awful lot in God's standard of economy. But the heart, where the Jewish people believed all choices were made, a wicked person who makes wicked choices, they're not worth much in the economy of God, because the economy of God is all about holiness, righteousness, doing things His way. Verse 21, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die from lack of sense. So righteous people saying righteous things help people out. But people who reject God's wisdom, the fools, they end up getting themselves in trouble at some point. That's just the way it works. Verse 22, the blessing of he who is makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. So true riches come from doing things God's way. And when we've done it God's way, we don't have regrets about that. That's the point. Doing wrong is like a joke to a fool, but wisdom is pleasure to a man of understanding. And I think all of us understand this mindset. Some people, they joke about everything, and they're cruel in it. They're harsh and mean and cutting. And they joke about doing bad things to other people. That's not an appropriate lifestyle. True wisdom brings pleasure to a person who knows God's standards. When we want to do the right thing and actually do the right thing, it makes us happy. Verse 24, what the wicked dreads will come upon him, but the desire of the righteous will be granted. So the concept here is that the wicked are always concerned they will eventually get caught. They will eventually have to pay the penalty for their bad choices. But the people who want to do the right thing, they're going to see that happen. And they will be happy when their desires take place. Verse 25. When the tempest passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous is established forever. Now, there's some metaphorical things that pop up in these Proverbs. The tempest here is not a literal storm, but rather the storm of life, the storm of judgment even. And when wicked people face the storm of God's judgment, they don't get through that very well. But righteous people will make it, because they are depending upon God. And so God will get them through the storm. Verse 26. Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him. Now, all of us understand the idea of smoke getting in your eyes. That's a very big irritant. The vinegar to the teeth, a little bit tougher for a lot of us to comprehend. Back at this time, they ate a lot of stone ground grain breads, and that meant that they ended up wearing down their enamel, breaking the teeth open, so that if you got acid, like vinegar, into one of those pinpoint holes into the pulp of your tooth and hit the nerves, you would be very irritated by that. So that's the point of that. Well, that's also the irritation you're going to feel over somebody that's lazy that you send to take care of a problem or take care of a job, because they're not going to get it done. These proverbs often speak of laziness as a bane of day-to-day living, when people won't apply themselves to take care of the responsibilities given to them. Verse number 27. The fear of he who is prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be short. Now, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of the knowledge. We've been talking about that from early on in the book of Proverbs. But the fear of the Lord, the fear of he who is representative of wanting to do things his way, by his standards. The Jewish people were told, if you will live by the covenant, if you will live according to the rules of God, then God will protect your life. God will protect your situation. And so you'll end up having a good long life in the land. But if you blow off his rules, you're going to come under his judgment. And your life is going to be cut short, sometimes by execution. But other times, just as the consequences of bad choices. So that's what he's trying to communicate to his young people. You want a long life? Live by God's standards. Verse 28. The hope of the righteous brings joy, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. So this is one of those long-term things. It's the big picture concept. Righteous people are looking beyond this life. They're expecting eternity with God in a place where all of the difficulties have been removed. But the wicked, all they've got to look forward to is judgment. If they don't repent, they face eternal judgment. Verse 29, the way of he who is a stronghold to the blameless, but destruction to evildoers. So God's path is safe for those who are walking it according to his standards. But the people who are not living by those standards, who try to force their way into the plans of God, they're going to face judgment. Verse 30, the righteous will never be removed, but the wicked will not dwell in the land. And I think we should think of that on its very long-term viewpoint. That is, the eternal land, the not just millennial kingdom, but the eternal kingdom is where the righteous will always live, and the wicked don't get to be there. Verse number 31, the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off. So those who are wise by God's standards, their mouth is speaking out God's wisdom. But perverse people, they're on the opposite side of that equation, and God is going to eventually deal with their bad advice, their bad talking. It will be cut off. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked, what is perverse. Pretty standard, pretty typical. Righteous people do righteous things. Wicked people do wicked things. Chapter number 11. A false balance is an abomination to he who is, but a just weight is his delight. An abomination is something that makes you sick. A false balance goes to the idea of their merchandising standards. When they sold things, they very often sold them by weight. The money at this time was pretty much chunks of silver or gold, and there was a standard of weight that was required in order for there to be a purchase. And some people had figured out that they could use one set of weights to buy things and one set of weights to sell things, and that would always put them in the winning side of any transaction. And God, he doesn't have any of that. Everybody should be treated the same. That's the principle that comes out here. And I really feel we need to emphasize that in our own lives. It doesn't matter whether you like the other person or not, or how they've ever treated you. They need to be treated in the same fair manner that you would treat those that you do like and who have been kind to you. That's God's expectation for righteous people. We treat everyone with the same fairness. Verse number 2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with the humble is wisdom. Now, the pride here is not a healthy pride of a job well done, but rather of self-importance, of I'm better than everyone else. That's going to bring disgrace. Humility, humbleness, thinking about other people more than you think about yourselves. That's where wisdom resides in God's kingdom. Verse number 3. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. Now, integrity is doing the right thing always, using the same standard. So the upright, righteous people, they always are guided by God's high standard. But treacherous people, people that can't be trusted, they don't keep the same standard. And so it will eventually come back and destroy them, because they will come under the judgment of God. Verse 4, riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. So if you come to judgment day a billionaire or a trillionaire, but you're unrighteous, then all that money, all that wealth is not going to help you out. You're still going to come under the judgment of God. If you are as poor as a church mouse and you come to the presence of God as a righteous, blood-bought saint, you are good to go. Because it's not wealth that gets us into the presence of God, but rather our holiness brought on by the salvation of Jesus Christ. Verse 5, the righteousness of the blameless keeps his way straight, but the wicked falls by his own wickedness. So righteous people do righteous things. Wicked people do wicked things. That's just the process. Verse 6, the righteousness of the upright delivers them, but the treacherous are taken captive by their lusts. So doing the right thing by God's standard, that will get you through. But going opposite of that, being unrighteous by God's standard, that's eventually going to come back and bring judgment on you. And that's usually driven by doing things the way you want it done. This self-centered, I want my way always. Verse 7, when the wicked dies, his hope will perish, and the expectation of wealth perishes too. So just, again, another warning that wicked people, once they are finished with this life, face judgment. And it doesn't matter how much wealth they might have generated for themselves during their wicked life, because all of that wealth is gone. It's no longer available for their use the moment they're dead. Verse 8, the righteous is delivered from trouble, and the wicked walks into it instead. So righteous people following the righteous path of God, they're going to tend to stay away from all the pitfalls of life. Wicked people, they just blunder right in any place that they want to go, and very often gets them in trouble. We have another saying about fools rush in where angels fear to tread. Same sort of principle. With his mouth, the godless man will destroy his neighbor, but by knowledge, the righteous are delivered. So ungodly people say nasty things about other people and very often cause them trouble. But the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God, is going to help righteous people get through life. So the idea is always anchor yourself with God's righteousness, because it's got the long-term benefits to it. Verse 10, when it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices, and when the wicked perish, there are shouts of gladness. Now, the rule of thumb that we're thinking about here is the kingdom of Solomon in its early years was a theocracy. God was the one who was ultimately the ruler of the nation. And the people were supposed to be living by his standards, by his covenant. And when righteous rules a nation, people are happy about that, especially when those people are also righteous. And because that's true, when wickedness is dealt with in a just fashion, like execution, for example, then that is part of this continuation of the standard of righteousness, and people are glad for that. Verse number 11, by the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it's overthrown. So just like righteous behavior and leadership can bring a city up, wickedness, wicked talk, wicked lifestyles, wicked community, wicked whatever can drag the city down. So there's the warning of everybody needs to be living by God's standard in order for the community to benefit. Verse 12, whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. So talking down, trash talking someone else is stupid. People who have God's word, God's wisdom in them, they keep control of their tongues. They keep control of their words. Even if they do have an issue with their neighbor, they are careful and cautious in how they approach that issue. They just don't go talking willy-nilly about it. Verse number 13. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. This is confidentiality that we're talking about. You don't just go around blabbing everything that you know about everybody else, especially things that are confidential. If you want to be trustworthy, you need to keep confidences. Now, there are some caveats to that, some exceptions, like you should not be keeping a secret about wicked and evil behavior. That's not appropriate. Those things need to be dealt with. Other issues, you need to keep them under your hat. Verse 14. Where there is no guidance, the people fall. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. So everybody's moving forward in life, and everybody makes plans. And it is a wise choice to get input from a lot of different people when there's a big decision that needs to be done. Because if you don't have a wide range of perspective, sometimes there will be trouble in whatever it is you're trying to get accomplished because you didn't see those things on your own. But somebody else might have seen those difficulties if you just asked them. Verse number 15. Whoever puts up security for a stranger will surely suffer harm, but he who hates striking hands in pledge is secure. I told you when we were looking at kind of that long illustration of wisdom being the wife that you want to have and folly being the wild woman that you got to stay away from, that co-signing on loans were always warned against in the wisdom literature of Israel. They were presenting this idea that if the person can't afford to buy something themselves, you're not necessarily helping them out by signing off for them. Because the only person that will suffer if they default is you. They won't learn any lesson from that because you're the one that co-signed. So here is a reminder. You shouldn't be co-signing for people you don't know for sure. Because you're just going to get yourself in trouble. The striking of hands here is basically making the promise, oh, if they don't pay, I'll pay. You've got to be cautious about that. Verse number 16. A gracious woman gets honor, and violent men get riches. Now, some of these proverbs have tongue-in-cheek realities to it. Now, the gracious woman gets honor. That is something that's appropriate. She should be honored for her graciousness. But violent men, people who take stuff by force, that's not a good thing, but it does happen, and we know it. and we need to speak out against it when we see it happen. Verse 17, a man who is kind benefits himself, but a cruel man hurts himself. So when we're kind to other people, that kind of comes back on us. Other people are kind to us. But the same is true in the negative sense. When we're mean and hurtful to other people, that's gonna boomerang back on us too. The wicked earns deceptive wages, but one who sows righteousness gets a sure reward. So wicked people cheat very often in the way that they do work, and that's going to eventually cause them trouble. If not in this world, certainly in the world to come. But the people who really apply themselves to work, you know, they sow righteousness, they're going to get the genuine reward, and that's appropriate. Verse 19, whoever is steadfast in righteousness will live, but he who pursues evil will die. So just stay on target for the right stuff. Otherwise, judgment awaits. Those of a crooked heart are an abomination to he who is, but those of a blameless ways are his delight. So God is sickened by bad choices, bad behavior, but he is excited and happy over good behavior. Be assured, an evil person will not go unpunished, but the offspring of the righteous will be delivered. So everything eventually comes to under God's judgment and will be dealt with. And so you definitely want to be one of those who are righteous, who are going into the salvation of God, rather than the wicked who are coming under his eternal judgment. Well, we're out of time for today, so come back tomorrow and we'll get back into God's word for some more Proverbs.